Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Leanna. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money. You know, Leanna, last year was a difficult year for bondholders, right? Mm-hmm. With the rapid rise in interest rates for the first time in a very long time, mm-hmm. we saw U.S. Treasury markets down north of 10% at the same time, where you had U.S. equity markets down by 10% or more. Doesn't happen very often, but it spooked investors a little bit, didn't it? Is, you know, our bonds an asset class? Now, we have moved into a different environment now with interest rates higher, and so I think we've got to get a take on where bond markets are and what bond investors can expect in this mm-hmm. market. So we've got a great guest joining us today, Tony Crescenzi, who is the Executive Vice President, Market Strategist, and Generalist Portfolio Manager at PIMCO. Tony, first of all, thank you very much. We've been trying to get you for a while. I know it's been difficult getting our calendars together, but we love having you here. So thanks for taking some time with us. So let's maybe just give you an opportunity to start. You heard my little setup there, and obviously, you know, some problems last year. And on a retail level, it really confused and spooked investors, because we haven't seen that, obviously, in a very, very, very long time. And in most investing careers, haven't seen that. Tell me a little bit about when we entered this year. What was the setup in the bond markets to begin the year? And then we'll talk a little bit about where we are now and what you see in the future.
Well, I've been traveling literally around the world, talking to clients, and it still seemed to be, including Washington this past week, it still seemed to be apprehensive about the fixed income arena. But we want to dispel the pessimism that exists regarding fixed income, because the setup, as you mentioned, it looked pretty good to start the year, with the main premise being that interest rate volatility in 2023 seemed, and so far it's the case, likely to be far lower than the interest rate volatility seen in 2022, for a simple reason. In 2022, investors expected the Federal Reserve, as one example of central bank expectation, to end the year with a 1% policy rate. Of course, the markets missed that by about 4 points. Now, this year, its setup has been markets expecting roughly a 5% policy rate, call it 5.25. If markets are wrong and it is higher, our view, based on many things we might get into, is it won't be much higher than that, if at all. And so the forecast miss is the point. It's likely to be a substantially smaller this year with respect to what investors think central banks will do. And that last year, to add to that, was simply a reversal of the 2010s movement in interest rates globally that followed the global financial crisis, including the reversal of $19 trillion of negative yielding bonds into positive territory. It was a one-time event, in our view, an anomaly that investors won't expect forget for a generation, which is why the idea of negative interest rates probably is out the window, but more stable interest rate climate is probably upon us now.
Okay, so we set up this year, Leanna, with I think probably a more realistic notion of where rates could be. And again, nobody knows where they're going to end, as Tony said, but it is unlikely we're going to, you know, the bond market will be so so wrong in terms of where these things ends up. So what does that mean from a, Tony, from a an investment perspective? You know, with central banks led by the Fed getting very close to pausing, and, you know, Bank of Canada likely on remaining on conditional pause here, maybe you could just speak to what that, you know, what that's going to mean, what investors should be looking for there with respect to their fixed income portfolios.
Yeah, and I think for one, the way we put it thematically is that interest rates, yields look attractive relative to three metrics. One, history. I'll tell you about that in a second. Second, inflation expectations. And third, volatility. Now, on the history part, looking at the Bloomberg aggregate, which combines U.S. treasuries, mortgages, corporate bonds, basically the bond universe in a market-weighted fashion, the yield today is 4.5%. That looks favorable to us. And by the way, it's up from a low of near 1%. Relative to history, looking at the last decade, it's 2 percentage points higher. Relative to the last 20 years, it's about a percentage point higher. And go further back, even if I went 40 years back, it's not that far beneath the 40-year average, which includes a period of high interest rates. And so it's very good looking relative to history. Secondly, and these other metrics matter more, an investor could say, especially given what happened in 2022, on expected inflation. Investors were certainly very worried about inflation in 2022, still are worried, but not as much. The market participants seem to be thinking the inflation rate in the United States will fall below 3% at some point. You could see this in inflation-protected securities and numerous other gauges. It does look like the markets are confident that the inflation rate will be below 3. So with a 4.5% yielding market, and this is before any alpha that managers can, like PIMCO and others, can generate, looks pretty good on that basis. Thirdly, relative to volatility, also subjective, perhaps, this analysis, but typical bond market volatility for this index that I mentioned, the Bloomberg Aggregate, it's about 5-6%. So if a yield return is close to 5%, it's a pretty good relationship compared to the equity market, where returns are expected to be mid-single digits or so, and volatility typically is in the teens. The value proposition looks good to us. And final note, remember always that the starting yield is the major determinant of future returns. And so if we're starting near 5% or so in the various types of bonds, it looks like that's what investors will get. And it looks pretty attractive in the ways I said.
Now, Tony, we have a couple minutes left for this segment, but I would love to know where you see the most opportunity. You have kind of the global universe of bonds open to you. You've mentioned that you see some opportunity in yields. Where do you see the most attractive areas of globally right now?
Thanks, Leanna. I would start with the areas we'd be careful about, which is the low grade areas, high yield, for example, loan securities, anything below investment grade should be, one should be very careful about, and be careful about the scaling there. Wouldn't avoid them completely, but it depends on an investor's stomach for volatility, you could say, and ability to withstand volatility. But the areas we like include agency mortgage-backed securities, which are deteriorating lately because of sales by the FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, related to the recent bank stress. And so these yields are moving close to their peaks again relative to treasury yields. And that peak was last reached in 2008. And so we're on par with that, close to it, without a housing crisis. So those securities in reasonable scaling look good to us to overweight. Secondly, so-called structured products. Imagine, if you will, an asset-backed security that's backed by credit card loans or car loans or perhaps student loans, and also credit support. The yields could be also in the fives, even towards 6% on those, and so they are attractive to us. We're also interested in financial companies, the big six, as they're called in the U.S., the yields are attractive, between 150 and 200 basis points over treasuries. And these banks, to us, look good. And you want to be in high up in the so-called capital structure, first in line, in other words, in the event of a problem. So those are the main areas in terms of investments, but also a diversified portfolio globally could include some a smidge of emerging markets and many, many nations where yields look attractive because of high central bank rates. But I should say a final note is to think about short-term investments and strategies. Perhaps think beyond money market funds, which have a few days of maturity. Think beyond a little bit further, reach for a little more yield, a little bit more in terms of maturity, and lots of good things to do in these dynamic, if you will, short-term strategies.
Okay, we're gonna pause there for a moment, Tony. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of the risks in bonds that that investors need to understand how to manage, you know, duration, credit, interest rate, so on and so forth, and then how you know, how bonds should be used in a sort of a balanced portfolio going forward this year, and what we can expect over the next 12, 24, 36 months. So we'll get to that in a moment. Now, we have to make sense of all of this stuff, and bond investing and fixed income and interest rates are all part of the equation when people are planning for their retirement. We've got a retirement seminar coming up.
That's right. It's next week, Tuesday, April 25th at 7 p.m. It would be great if you could join us in person at the Carriage House Inn. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right. Stick around after the break to continue our conversation with Tony. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.